that means we've started.
We've begun.
It's called a professional beep. We've taken a giant leap forward. Today
it's
I felt
a professional
like
a, courtesy.
Dude, I felt
is.
Like a real
really
sound guy.
I really appreciated that. Yeah.
It was a whole thing.
I think you're a pretty sound guy.
I had the little cable, the little
the
coily cable, and on my
pigtail.
My internal boom pole was doing its thing. I was walking around with my bag on. I was like, this is like Scott. I asked Andy if I'm like, you want a IEM? He's like, you can do that? I'm like, oh, no, I can do anything now.
I can do it all.
You understand.
Were you like naming files and shit from your box?
I didn't. I should have, but I didn't.
Yeah.
We were moving too quick. And I was like, you know.
I mean, if it's not necessary. It's a small shoot.
It would have been nice for him later, but I was like, fuck him. I'm not editing.
Yeah. It's a shit.
That's not what I thought. I just didn't have time.
That's great. Dude, you were rocking the biggest. I didn't know they came in that big.
I didn't either. I stopped to get a water. This is how this went. I stopped at Stewart's on the way back.
Yeah. At Stewart's Shops.
At StewartShops.com. To get a gallon of water. I walked in, saw that there were no gallons of water, turned around, saw these on the door, totally forgot why I was there, bought two of them and left. And then as I was pulling out of the parking lot, I put them on top of my hood.
Sure.
To get into the car. I'd throw some shit away, and I pulled away. And this bro, who best be described as a wook. He was a wook bro, you know?
Okay.
And he came charging at me.
I understand. Yeah.
He came charging. It's like Scott. Imagine Scott.
Yeah.
If he was a little bit more of a hippie. I came charging at me. He was like, bro! And I heard it like over the music in the car. And I looked over and this guy's running at me. And he's pointing just above. And I'm like, oh, my God. So I stopped to get them. And he like gets them for me.
Right.
And then like pushes, like gives them in my car.
That's not okay.
I'm like, all right, number one, man, you're not wearing a fucking mask.
In the current climate.
Yeah. Like I get what you're doing. But he just didn't want to yell man down. Because that's what he would have. Man down. He's that guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nothing worse.
We're talking about Bud Light Seltzer.
Yeah.
This episode. I didn't know that you get a pint. That's a full on pint.
25 ounces.
A pint. 1 pint, 9 ounces.
Deuce Cinco.
Yeah. Dude, I didn't know they came this big.
Well,
I have it next to a regular seltzer can here. And,
it looks diminutive. It looks like Andre the Giant's seltzer can.
Yes.
You know, it's like when Shaq holds a bottle of water.
Right. That's exactly it.
Stupid.
It's fucking stupid. I'll drink this whole thing, though. Thanks for bringing it.
Yeah.
I brought you a non-alcoholic watermelon seltzer.
It looks delightful. I'll drink it before I leave.
Great. You gotta stay hydrated.
I know. I'm not hydrated all day. I had such a day today. We were working all day. This was supposed to be I took this like this gig today with a friend of mine. And at first, he was like, you know, it was pretty far away. It's like an hour and a half away from home. But he's like, you know, just be there. We start shooting at noon and wrap by 2. And I was like, sweet. It was a pretty big payday.
Killer, like,
I'm like, this is fucking rad, you know. And then I talked to him yesterday, and he's like, so do you think you can leave at like 7:30 in the morning? And I was like, wait a minute, whoa, what? And he's like,
that's
well.
That's what we had agreed upon.
Yeah, he's like, well, you know, he spent all day there the day before setting stuff up. He's like, we got to go through rehearsals and this and that, blah, blah, blah.
Makes sense.
Yeah, so no sleep last night, and I get there. I'm exhausted, and then it was just, we worked until like 5:30. It was like a full all-day thing, but it was cool. And now I'm enjoying a giant seltzer with you. I was happy to get a text from you saying you wanted the podcast.
Yeah, I was like, you know what? We hadn't scheduled a day yet this week.
It's
so
a beautiful night.
It is a lovely night. It's hitting that part of summer. We're in that final stretch, and I'm not complaining because it was a fucking scorcher. The summer
it's
one.
It's a real scorcher. I looked at the weather all week, and there's some nights where it's in the 50s, mid-50s.
Right. And just enough where you're like, oh, I'll take the dog out at like midnight, and I'll be like, ooh. It's a little nippy.
I'm trying to grab a hoodie. I said out loud, like, oh, here it comes.
Oh, no.
It's all over. You didn't do shit. This one's going to be a real kick in the pants, isn't it?
Oh, sure.
Like,
I feel like I haven't done dick. Because I haven't.
Yeah, you and most rational people. I was going to say most people, but no, most rational
no,
people.
No, a lot of people, it's like nothing. It's just another summer.
Yeah.
And where they get yelled at the grocery store and they don't understand why.
Everybody's so fucking dumb.
Yeah.
Parties. I went to the beach. We did this, we did that. Oh, God, that's cool. That's cool. I'm hiding here.
Yeah.
This is what I do. Anyway, Sean, how are you? How was your week?
I don't do anything. Like we just said, I've been working. I got a thing I'm working on.
Yeah.
Yeah. We, I mean, you and I overall had a great week.
We did. We had some news.
Huge news.
Yep. Huge mungus, as a childhood friend of mine said, would say.
Huge mungus?
In earnest. He thought that was the word.
That was the word? Huge mungus?
Yeah. And you'd say, he'd slip it in a conversation like, dude, that thing is like huge. Have you ever seen the Rose Bowl? It's huge mungus, right? It could fit like 100,000 people. And no
Me
matter.
And my cousin were over there. And
and then it just eventually just became how I said the word because it was cute.
Mm-hmm.
But if you didn't grow up with that guy, then you think I'm an idiot.
Right. I was just saying huge mungus. Or like people that say guesstimate.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I'd guesstimate that it's about...
Guesstimate's kind of like a funny, like a cutesy kind of way to say it, right?
That's
like,
what I would think of huge mungus, though. I would never believe that somebody actually thought that.
Sounds like somebody's commenting on the size of your mungus.
Yeah, that's a huge mungus you got there.
Yeah, it's
I've
not bad.
I've never seen a mungus that big. It's like much like this Bud Light seltzer. I've never seen such a huge mungus.
I haven't had many complaints, if you know what I mean, about my huge mungus.
It's good to get the name of the episode out early, I guess. I'll forget and I'll name it something else. But
yeah.
Anyway. No, this week.
This
Jay,
week.
This week at the lovely Trenchmouth Productions headquarters.
HQ.
In Amsterdam, New York.
Creekside.
Yes, Creekside.
There it is. Our palatial estate. We're moving up. Now we have a body of water. See, we started in like in a
we
real
had a creek before.
The
same creek.
I know, but
that was
that's down creek. That's when the poop like this is before the poop hits it.
Right.
The poop hits it down there on the Ave. Right. We're above the poop. And this is a manageable creek
pre-poop.
That we can enjoy. The other creek, like, we could enjoy when we were in a bathroom that smelled like rotting diabetic piss.
Right.
This is, like...
I'm pretty sure that the water that was in the bathroom came directly from the creek.
It's just cheaper.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Here it's a creek. Down there, it's a crick.
Yeah, crick pigs.
Yes.
Lurking about.
Mm-hmm. That's the difference.
Mm-hmm. You're going to get this point out at some point.
Here at our lavish estate, which is very nice.
Yeah, I like it a lot.
Yeah. Anyway, we... We've discussed this before. We changed offices and moved around and everything. Anyway, this week we found out that Middletown is an official entry into the Coney Island Film Festival.
It's true.
It's true. It's true.
Yeah, man.
How sweet it is.
To be loved by you.
But yeah, dude, that's the best news I've gotten in months.
That's the best news.
Like...
I think it's the best news I've gotten in like years. I think it might be literally years.
Yeah. Why not?
Yeah. It's true. We found out. I got an email the previous week.
Last time we recorded, we knew that there was a chance.
It sounded like it was going to happen.
Yeah, but we didn't want to.
Yeah.
Count our chickens.
Yeah. They reached out and said, "Hey, you're in the running to be a selection, and would you be cool if we couldn't do it live, if you submitted online, if we could protect your movie and blah blah blah?" And at the end, just two little sentences made it very nice. Said, "P.S. Great film, amazing what you guys accomplished with such small budget," and it really touched me.
And that's what was like, oh, because at first it sounded like just like a form email.
Yep.
Where it was just like, oh, they're asking everybody.
Yeah.
That they're just getting their shit in line, making sure that whoever they pick is cool with this.
Yeah.
But then. The fact that they added that at the end, saying like, "Hey, really great movie,"
yeah,
especially with or whatever it was, but
yeah,
they complimented the movie and then commented on how impressive it was that we did it on such a low budget, and that's huge.
That means
not only did they watch it, they fucking paid attention.
Yeah,
they didn't watch it just because they had. Well, they did watch it just because they had to. But I'm just saying, like, there was like
because we gave them $40.
It was more than 10, though. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, and dude, like, this isn't Small Beans Film Festival. This is a pretty big one. This is a good sized film festival. Yeah. And I'm you should be very proud.
I'm very happy. I've submitted a lot of movies
sure.
to a lot of festivals, and you know, every time, no matter how good of a chance I think we've ever had to actually get into it, always there is the rejection letter, and it's always the same rejection letter from any film festival, from the top to the bottom, you know, from the ones that take place in strip mall parking lots to the ones that are, you know, the big ones that people fly into in helicopters. they use the same form letter, which is insulting because the expensive ones are like $80, $90, $100 dollars to get into.
To get to the point where these, you might as well pay $1,000 to get into these things. You might as well. What's the difference at that point?
Right, right, right. And especially because if you make a movie to get into one of those things, and $1,000 to you is like a $15 entry fee for us. You know, right. It all works out. So... So, I'm real used to that shit. And I used to get like a butterflies in my stomach when I would see the email.
You'd see the email.
It would say your judging status has changed. And I go, oh, and then I'd see the stupid, right. So last week, I went out for a walk with the kid. It was a nice day. I had a library book that was due 5 months ago. So we just walked over to the library and put the, you know, and then took our time, came back like, oh, yeah, it's nice. You know, take a little walk, blah, 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 enjoying the sun, hanging out with my kid, love her. I just checked my email before I had to get back to this little editing thing I was working on.
No, this is after?
This is before. This is when I got that initial email.
That initial email. Okay.
And I saw the subject line. And I didn't recognize at first because I think it said this guy, the festival director's name.
Like he sent a personal email.
Yeah.
It wasn't just like, what is it, Film Freeway?
Right. So, it wasn't Film Freeway. Yeah. And the subject line was Middletown Question. So I opened it, but I didn't really process what was happening. And then I read that email and I was so excited. I mean, I know. It's not, we didn't announce a distribution deal and I know we didn't like get it. We're not talking about Sundance. I didn't get a fucking email from Robert Redford.
Okay.
But
hang on.
Well, no. I'm just saying, when I was about to get around to the point like for us, for the movie to get anybody to watch it and to get any recognition at all is a huge step, let alone get into a festival, let alone get into a top 25 reviewed festival, let alone, you know what I mean? So it was gigantic, mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I jumped up and I grabbed my kid, who is at the age where she does not want me grabbing her anymore. And she's like, what are you doing? And I was like, yeah! And I was screaming with this like wild, I had this wild moment of actual joy.
I'm sorry, I missed that.
Like complete, right, right. Like completely unchecked
right.
joy, where it wasn't couched in, but it was just fucking joy.
Yeah. Because there's no like.
Yeah.
That's there, all right there.
Then there was no caveat. It wasn't like, well, yeah, but we don't know if we're in. To me, and I said this to you, you were the first person. Like, I called you in 25 seconds later.
Right.
And, you know, and I told you, like, even if we don't get in. The right. fact that we got this email, the fact that they said, hey, you're in contention, you're in the running to have your feature shown at this festival.
It's not easy. Shorts are, I mean, don't get me wrong, there's a skill that goes along with making a very good short. I think it's, you know, there's definitely a talent there and being able to tell a whole story in, you know, a few minutes.
Yep.
But these festivals take all the shorts, man. Not all of them, but I'm saying like...
You can program... Middletown is an hour and 52 minutes or something with credits. I mean, that's eight long shorts.
Exactly.
I mean, that's a lot of space.
You're taking up a lot of time, energy, and people will spend money to go watch 10 shorts.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, hey, yeah, we'll drop some money and we'll watch 10 shorts. It's a lot harder to be like, hey, come to our festival and watch this one movie from these guys you've never heard of.
Yeah, starring nobody you've heard of.
Exactly.
Right. Shot in some place you've never been to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was, so I just felt like even just getting that first initial, hey, in that last line, and you said one word and it cut me, it hit me right in the stones. You just said affirmation. And I was like, that's it. It's affirmation. And I know that it's ridiculous. And I know that it makes me sound like a little girl, like a little fucking asshole child, you know, but like, I live with these movies for a long time.
Sure.
You know, from writing them to shooting them with you and the crew and then editing them and doing the sound mix and scoring it and all of that shit, you know, all of those steps, a lot of it is spent by myself. The best part is spent with everybody else, but that's such a small part compared to the life
else.
Of the movie.
Yeah. Your fingerprints are all over that thing. Like literally, there's no part of it that you're not involved in.
Right. And
everybody else has a part that they're like the...
Everybody, it wouldn't happen without every single person. But what I'm saying is that it gets real lonely and you lose focus. You know, man, like
you almost become disconnected, not disconnected, but you become so jaded to it.
Yeah, that's it. That's
yeah,
it.
You become so jaded to it that you almost were like, is this good? Is this bad?
Right, right.
Is this, it just, because it just is. It just exists as what it is, and you have no frame of reference anymore.
Zero.
As to what it is, because you have every little thing, too. Like, I can't watch it without being like, oh, this day was like this.
Yeah.
This day was like, I have no idea what it's like to watch this movie through the eyes of someone who hasn't
never seen it. Right.
That wasn't there when it happened, or you know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
And so you don't have a full understanding. You can recognize good acting. You can recognize when a scene is lit well. You can recognize those. Right, you know what I mean? Like the nuts and bolts of filmmaking. But there's
does the story make sense anymore? Is that funny?
Is that moving? The nuance
is
still
it right,
there?
Right.
Like,
and then you go and you see it in the theater, and they're laughing at jokes that you forgot were funny. And you go, oh, right, that's
a
joke.
I forgot that was even a joke.
I forgot, right. And yeah. It's quiet when it's supposed
like,
to be
seriously,
quiet.
At the beginning of the movie when he's like, you used to fuck that dude. I forgot that was a joke because I heard it so many times. You know what I'm saying? And then, like, you hear it, and then you hear people laugh, and you're like, oh, right, this is funny.
Right, right.
Oh, right, this is supposed to be funny.
Right.
Like,
so then, you know, a while later, we're here, and there's a person who has no connection to it, has not seen it
some
a million
guy.
Times.
Might
as well be some guy who just happens to be in charge of a film festival, who's the director of a film festival. And
we're not blind to the fact that we had to pay this person. That
sure.
This person had to be paid
sure.
to watch it. However.
But a lot of people did. And it made the list, and like, and it just felt like affirmation. It's peer affirmation, you know?
Yeah.
And it's nice. It's nice to show your shit off and go like, hey, listen, we don't know what we're doing. And we're up here where there is no industry for this, so there are no industry standards.
There's no point of reference.
There's right.
There's, no.
There's not like, we didn't bring on the guy who does it. Like, Scott's a pro, but you know what I mean? Scott is here, and he does movies here, mm-hmm. but it's not like he was like, oh, I was just on this Miramax shoot, and blah, 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 or Weinstein. No, that's not even a thing anymore. Whatever the thing is, A24 is making
yeah,
this movie,
go.
Right? And, you know, he showed up and was like, oh, well, this is how you're supposed to do it. Like, we're just figuring this shit out every time we do this.
Yeah.
And to know that it was enough for a film festival to go like, hey, that's good. I was like, fucking affirmation, man.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, and then, of course, a few days ago when we get I got the selected email.
Yeah.
And it was just like, holy shit.
And that's like, you'd think you couldn't be higher just from the recognition.
Yeah.
Of... Because, I mean, we're talking about, like, so many, you just assume you're not going to hear anything.
Mm-hmm.
You just assume. No matter how good you think your project is, no matter how good you think things are, you just kind of assume it's just you're throwing it into the void. And,
yeah, and sometimes
and
it's not
nothing's
a good fit.
Gonna stick.
Sometimes there's just, like, they just don't give a shit. Like, we had gotten rejected from a podunk horseshit, like, like shitty festival the day before
right
we got accepted to the this festival
right
and I was bummed about it for a minute and I was like what fucking really like
yeah.
you won't because I gave you submission fee because I honestly thought it was a layup and I'm you know I want to have a festival experience and I want this movie to be seen and we got rejected. And then you look at the festival and you go, all right, well, maybe it wasn't a good fit. We say a lot of bad words. There's a lot, you know.
Oh, I think about that a lot. Sometimes, I mean, like, I think there are definitely moments, you know, I go back and forth. And, like, there are moments where I'm like, eh, I wonder if we got rejected because we said fuck to one too many times or something. But then, like, who gives a shit?
Yeah, just make what you want to make.
Make what you want to make. It doesn't matter. Like,
water find its level.
If you're sitting there thinking about like, well, is this going to get into a festival though? Then
yeah,
you're not making
you're
your movement
asshole.
Anymore. Then you're just trying to. Then you just want the attention.
Yeah.
And it's nice now knowing that we can have the best of both worlds.
Yeah.
That we have confirmation and affirmation that we can do this.
Yeah.
And that's. I don't know, man. That's huge. And not to, I mean, we're not going to talk about this for the next, well, maybe we will. Who knows? Talk about this for the next hour. But I'm just saying, like.
I feel like I want to talk about this for, like, the next month.
I know,
I'm,
right?
I'm very
And, of
excited.
Course, this happened during fucking.
I know.
COVID. It seems appropriate.
I know.
You know what I mean? Because we want to, like, we would have thrown a party.
Oh, a million.
You know what I mean? We would have thrown a, like, hey, sure. congratulations party. You know what I mean? We'd have cast and crew here. Yeah. And we would have done like the whole fucking nine, but you know, we're responsible adults.
Yeah. We would have gone down there, like caravan style. Yeah, I mean,
and then so it's a digital format this year.
Yeah.
Got talking into the microphone.
Yeah.
I was just talking over
it's
here.
Better if you, like, honestly, sometimes it's better if you don't.
Oh, thanks.
Whatever. Sometimes I gotta reset. Okay. Go on.
Fuck, not free. No. Okay, so...
digital.
Yeah, so it's digital this year, which is kind of a bummer, you know what I mean? Because I was looking up Coney Island Film Festival. It looks like a fucking party.
Those guys have fun.
Those guys have a good time. And I was like, man, we'll go to every fucking screening. We'll go to everything. I mean, I still figure we're going to go to...
Yes, yes.
We're still going to go. Yeah. I mean, there's 95...
Going to watch a lot of movies that week.
It's a lot of shorts, though. Yeah, so, I mean, like, you'll watch half of those in a day.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like... yeah,
we'll see what's up with these guys.
Exactly,
we're festival mates now. Mm-hmm. Like, if one of those movies gets big, or one mm-hmm. of those directors gets big, we'll go, oh, we were festival mates with that guy or that girl, or oh, hey, remember that movie that played before us? Like, oh yeah, it got bought by blah blah blah.
Mm-hmm. Somebody could also be saying that about us.
That's true. I hope everybody's not like, fuck those guys. Making
what
their
do you mean?
Stupid, like, fucking movie.
I do have a feeling, though, that we're going to be those guys that made a nothing movie. Like a $0 movie. I don't mean the movie's nothing. I'm saying we're going to be those guys that made a zero. That being said, I've done some research into some of the other movies that are uh-huh. showing. I haven't seen another feature yet. And I noticed last year's festival had two features in it. So who knows what the other feature is.
Yeah.
From what I've found, though, everything is a short so far. But some of them were, like, you can tell had, like, big budgets.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Our movie looks like it had a budget.
Oh, yeah.
That's the thing. And I think we can say that about the stuff we've done. It always looks like we spent more money on it than we did. And especially this movie. And especially if that's not, like... if you're not indigenous to the area where you go, look at the production value of this. Like, they've got this like lake house and they've got this. Yeah. And like, it's a log cabin.
A lake and mountains.
There's all these things. And for us, it's an hour or a 40 minute ride up the hill.
It's just a ride up the road.
Yeah.
Well, it's like when you see a lot of movies take place like in the desert and shit.
Right.
For us, it'd be like, oh shit. Yeah. Wow. You went to the, it's like, well, we live in LA.
Right. Yeah. 45
it's
minutes.
Fucking desert.
Yeah. It's like I was going to Herkimer.
Right.
Right.
So yeah, like I'm waiting for my Scott Mosier moment. I think I've said this to you before.
You want to direct the Grinch?
Yeah. No, I'm going to leave you and you're going to keep making your dick joke movies.
And you're going
to
make
$1 billion.
I'm
going to co-direct the Grinch and then maybe a movie about fucking Thanksgiving turkeys.
Yeah.
No, I want my Scott Mosier Clerks moment where we're at a festival Q&A and all I do is repeat the fucking budget of the movie over and over again.
That's hilarious.
I have this vision.
$931.
Because there's all that footage of him just being like 28 or 25, yeah. whatever it was.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, I want my Scott Mosier moment.
I'm sure you can have it. I'm excited for you to have that.
Yeah. I'm curious to see you talking in front of a group of people.
Well, I mean, a fake group of people.
It's over Zoom, right?
It's so over Zoom. And I talked to a group. We did get one Q&A off mm-hmm. before this whole thing started, and I answered.
You seemed very nervous.
I was very nervous.
You seemed very yeah.
I was very nervous.
No, you did a great job, but you did seem nervous.
Yeah. I figured by this time, I would have had enough practice because that
right.
was the goal.
That was the goal. We would have done. Oh my God, how many? We would have done at least three.
Yeah.
And then we had other ones like...
I bet we would have been five or six.
We would have been five or six deep of showing this movie now.
So by the time festivals came around, we would have been like old hats.
Right.
We would have had rehearsed anecdotes.
Oh, yeah, right?
Yep. Tell the thing about the...
Tell them about the time with... Oh, yeah, no, I was gonna, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm convinced, though, that this is gonna work in our favor somehow. That this whole thing kind of worked out the way it did. Like
the Zoom thing?
No, just in general. Well, I mean, I'm wondering if at first I was like, well, the Zoom thing kind of sucks. I think people go to film festivals because they like to go out and do something.
Yeah.
But then I was like, but who are the people that you want to see this, right? You want people kind of in the know. when I say in the know, I'm not saying people are going to pick up the movie and fucking be like, hey, we'll...
Yeah.
Destroy. I mean, that would be great. You know what I mean? Right, but But the people whose opinion you want to hear, you know what I mean? That's what I'm talking about. The people who... You want them coming up to me like, hey, I enjoyed your movie. Why don't you do this, though? Like, why don't you do... You know what I mean? Like, the right people. I don't know who those people are, but I'm saying those people. And at first I was like, man, it probably is a lot for them to drag themselves to a festival.
Yeah.
But if it's online...
Everybody can go?
Anybody can go, man. Yeah. Like, and they're like, oh, well, I can carve out time. I don't have to leave my house.
Yeah.
And I'll go check out...
Just pop in and out.
Coney Island.
Right. Yeah. Pop in. Yeah.
And they're like, oh, well, what features you got playing? Oh, you only have a couple features. I'll check this one out. Like,
I have this overwhelming fear that it's going to be nothing.
That nobody's going to be in there?
Yeah. Like, no one is going to participate because the draw is...
Coney Island.
Coney Island, yeah. Right? I mean, like, it doesn't take place...
You're gonna ride the fucking...
The cyclone. Right. Yeah. I mean, it doesn't take place like... It's not like a place that says, you know, we're in Coney Island and it's actually 40 minutes outside of Coney Island. It's like it takes place on the boardwalk. Like, it's it's Coney Island. Like, with the fucking rides and
Coney
shit.
Island puts it on.
Yeah.
It's not like some group of people.
By Coney Island, USA.
Who, like, yeah, Coney Island, the fucking amusement park, like, waterfront, one of us, the boardwalk.
Boardwalk, yeah.
Is putting this on.
Yeah, hot dogs, roller coaster. That's
Joey Chestnut.
Kobayashi.
Mustard. Dunkin' in
water. Dunkin' water,
Gotta eat the bun, too, though. That's the thing.
It's 65. So, I mean, it's... So, I feel like, what if that's the case? Now, it could go one of two ways. It could go that way, where, it's a September... right now, it's taking place...
September
11th.
And they said it's going to last a few extra days.
Yeah.
Like the 15th.
It was originally September. It was 9/11 through 13. Now it looks like it might, but they haven't released that yet.
Which makes sense, though, because before you just be like, hey, we're showing this movie through this movie, if you're looking at shorts, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
At this time. But now it's like, how do you tell people, like, hey, sit down and get ready for all these movies we're going to show?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
it's either, but I think it's either going to be people who, like, to your point, cool, I can just do this from home.
Mm-hmm.
So I get the festival experience and I get to watch all these movies by these artists and blah, blah, blah. And I have questions, or it's going to go the other way where it's just like, why would I want to do that?
What's the draw?
Like, I mean, you have to be a real cinephile.
Well, that was kind of my point. Like, there are people who genuinely want to see movies that from new artists, and those are the people I think we're going to want to talk to, not just your I'm bored, there's a thing going on at Coney Island people.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I think those people are more likely to be like, hey, I have time now, I'm obviously not working on anything, you know, I mean, hopefully we get a good time slot. That's a big deal.
Yeah. Sunday morning. That was Clerks, right?
That Sunday was Clerks, morning. Yeah, the Sunday 11 morning a.m. screaming. Nobody showed up.
And they were like, they saved us for last.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll see how it plays out. But I have to keep kind of checking myself and reminding myself every step of the way that I wrote a movie in like 2004 that I eventually made for like 5 years and stopped making one shot short of completion. And the whole exercise... Whoa, Big Bird.
What the hell was that?
It was
just a bird flying around my head?
Yeah. It's a buzz in the tower.
Damn. Okay, sorry.
It represents the Coney Island Film Festival. Hey, well, I heard you guys was talking some smack. What's up? Yeah,
I just came up from the beach.
Here's your passes. Thank you.
Thank you.
Coney Island bird of art. So when I started this whole thing, like back in, like I wrote a movie like 2004 and I made it for 5 years and it was awful and I abandoned it with one shot left. It was kind of, I remember kind of thinking like at some point, I just want this whole thing to get to where I can find like-minded people and make friends and make things and be together, and the end goal where, like, you know, my idiot friends were like, you know, I want to be your turtle, man. Like,
right, yeah,
you
yeah.
know. But for me, the end goal was I just want to get a movie I make into a festival because mm-hmm. I want to have that experience. And then I can say that. And as stupid as it is, that's, I just want to make a movie that's a festival movie. And now, after 15 years, I can say, like, yeah, cool. We did it. And we did it with nothing. And to me, that's the best part. And we didn't buy our way into it. We weren't like, you know, this girl's father is a lawyer and this girl's uncle's a, you know.
Oh, yeah. Like, we literally have no connections.
Yeah. Your aunt's a fucking dentist. And so we borrowed $300,000 and we made this thing. And, like, when you have a movie that's made with that much money, it's not guaranteed anything. But those are the movies where you can polish them up enough. Where a festival go like, oh, yeah, okay, cool. So you spend $500,000 and you go, all right, okay. And you'll see them more often than our shit. Like, mm-hmm. our shit will always just
believe
rides
it or
on
not,
merit.
There's more $500,000 movies out there than 900. Like, believe it or not.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. I think people don't realize, people who are in the know with filmmaking, and I would include us in that just because we have an understanding of it. I don't mean like we're anybody of any importance. I'm just saying we have an understanding of how it works. Mm-hmm. A low budget movie is $250,000.
Yeah, like, now I think it's like $1 million and less. And I think micro budget is $25,000 and under,
which is you might as well ask us to make a $500,000 movie.
Yeah,
we're not getting $25,000.
No.
I mean, don't get me wrong. You want me to take a loan out or something? Like,
yeah.
I could get my hands on $25,000, but I'm right. not like that's
yeah.
That's a lot of fucking money.
It's a lot of dimph.
And if somebody would love to, if somebody wants to give us $25,000,
we'll just get better pizza. That's what it. It's kind of what it comes down to, right?
Well, and where do the
we'll have Chinese food day every week.
Right now, the possibilities are endless. That's how I look at it. Our ceiling, we don't. There's no ceiling when you have no money.
Yeah,
because everything you get is fantastic.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? If your budget is $30,000. You all of a sudden have a cap,
yeah,
on who you can afford, what you can afford to do,
and what a movie like that should be like at $30,000.
In theory, a $30,000 movie should look fantastic.
It should look good. It should sound good. It should have a higher caliber of talent. It should. The whole thing should be, in theory, if all things are equal, it should be better than a movie that's made for nothing. But all things are never equal in art. Right.
Right.
So
I think if we had $30,000 at our disposal, Did I say exposal?
You made up a word.
I made up a word.
You took a huge, mungus leap. You sort of.
Yeah, I did take a big sip of my giant Bud Light seltzer. Anyway.
At our disposal,
I don't think it would have been any better. I can think of little things here and there that we could have done better.
Yeah.
Just because I know what the day was like,
yeah,
you know what I mean?
The guy. Yeah.
But
no, it would have been fractionally like
it would have been a much more hectic environment to get it done. Actors would not have been happy because I would have been an asshole to them every day.
Yeah.
Yeah,
the only thing that stopped you from being an asshole is like everyone's doing us
you
a favor.
You reminding me that they're doing us a favor.
Everyone's doing a stop.
Like, but they made a commitment. Yeah.
Commitments are just promises, and those are fake. You know it. Stop it. It's not a legally binding agreement.
It's just so funny, too, how you're talking about the movie you made in 2005.
Yeah.
I know nothing about that movie.
No, I know. There's a reason.
I'm just saying. Well, that's my point.
Yeah.
I feel like if anybody that is now our current circle of people,
yeah.
You'd think I would have seen something of it. But that's how close to the vest you're playing that.
It was just film school. I mean, I took out a loan to go to make a movie because I wanted to learn how to make a movie. So
right.
It was like take a loan out and go to film school and take a giant loan out and go to film school or take out a small loan and buy a bunch of shit and figure out how to use all
and
that
figure
shit.
Figure out as you go.
And figure it out as we go. And it took 5 years. And at the end of it, I was like, oh, this is fucking horrible. Like, there's nothing, there's no redeeming quality about this. The only thing that came from that movie was Jesse and Derek. And well, that's it.
But, and learning.
And look, right. No, right. Aside from learning how to do that.
But that's, I think you're accidentally circling back to my point.
I want to take credit for it, so.
Oh, good.
Let's
okay.
just say I did it on purpose.
You did. You bring up a good point, Jay.
You tie into my point well, Jay.
Yeah. That's what this. Oh God, I'm worried about sounding like a dickhead.
And your hands are coming up. I'm afraid you're going to make little you're going to make frame thumbs.
No. This journey.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's
a good one.
It is. That's what it has become.
What's that?
It's like, have you ever played Final Fantasy?
Yeah.
This filmmaking is like Final Fantasy for us.
Okay. Explain.
You gain new team members along your way and bolsters your team together.
All right.
You know what I'm saying? And we upgrade as we go.
It's true.
You know, at the core, you still have your key members. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, this is all you. Started with you, 100%. You know what I mean?
And then
we made Death Before Discomfort.
Yeah.
And I showed up out of nowhere.
It was two before you. And then you came. And
that's what I'm saying.
You made more sense. And you stuck. And then,
I stuck to the wall.
You did.
And
we
then
threw you against the wall.
And then we met Scott on the other one.
Met Scott on Frankenstein.
Yes. Well, that's not our movie, though.
Right. So,
but still.
I produced it.
That you did.
Yeah.
And so
he came over to the other one.
And now he did the other one, and we still had him.
And Devin.
On Middletown. And Devin. So, we're meeting actors, and we're meeting John and Jen. And you know what I mean? We're meeting all these people. You know what I mean? And now those people are in Middletown and involved in Middletown.
Yep.
But then we also met Justin on this movie.
Yeah.
And now we're starting working on the next project.
We are.
Most of those pieces are still involved.
In play.
That's what I'm saying. And I think that has a lot to do with it.
That was always the goal, was just to have a bunch of like-minded people and to be able to, I think the thing that, we made a movie about two guys at work in black and white. And
sure. There was a lot of juxtaposition.
Yeah. You know what this looks like. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I'm fully aware of what this looks like.
I've heard a lot.
Thank you.
But the bigger thing I took from that guy was finding treating it like a theater troupe and mm-hmm. bringing in, meeting people who care and then bringing them in and then using their talents, kind of
right
over and over. And because we just try to have a good time while we do it. And we try to keep our promises, and we try to.
Well, we don't set the bar too high.
100%. That's part of the no budget thing too. Is mm-hmm. We're not going to spend any money, but when it's over, you're going to go, holy shit, that looks way better than it should. And it comes at the cost of a little bit of my sanity and a little bit of your sanity and a lot of late nights and early mornings and blah, blah, mm-hmm. blah, blah, blah. But that's kind of what we
set up. Meeting at the office at 6 a.m., putting packs of water in the car and stopping at at Panera to picking up bagels for everyone. You know what I mean?
Shit that other guys that are directors and producers of movies never do.
No, they don't do that.
Yeah.
No, somebody else does that. They hire somebody to do that.
Yeah, no, that's us.
And
Huckin' lights, dragging cables.
We were just talking about the dent in my car.
Yeah.
That I got from a giant stand that I was pulling out of somebody else's car. It was my own fault, but
yeah.
I don't know, man. It's just pretty incredible. And not to jump the gun, and I don't want to be speaking out of school, as they say.
Okay.
I think the next one's going to be even better. Mm-hmm. I really do.
I'm excited about that. We haven't even talked about that.
We haven't, because I didn't know if we were there yet.
Yeah, we're there. We're there, baby. Yeah.
We're there. There's already the next one's in the pipeline. It's in the chamber, and
we're making. You're doing.
We're actively working on it.
You're producing it.
Yes.
You and Susanna.
Yeah, I have help this time.
Susanna from Middletown. Susanna, born
Middletown's own,
is producing with Sean. You guys are doing the thing.
Adding to the team.
Yes, yes, we're filling out our team, and it's been really great so far.
Mm-hmm.
You guys read the script, I handed it out to a few people.
We have a meeting tomorrow.
We do. We've had a couple meetings already. We're talking about casting. We're taking auditions.
And we're trying to make the most out of the pandemic, because Jay and I have never really had a pre-production timeline.
You know what's funny is that we had a pre-production timeline on the other one. because there was a long space.
There was a gap there.
Between Death Before Discomfort, I think we showed in October of 2016. And we didn't start.
Was it really?
Yeah. And we didn't start shooting the other one until summer 2017. So we had like a winter, like spring. We had a winter, spring. I gave you
half a summer. We started shooting July.
Yeah.
First.
July 1st. Yeah. I gave you a script in March. No, in January. And then kind of kept writing and shit throughout the next couple of months while we crewed up and did our thing and found actors and all that stuff. And we had all this, and we kind of knew we had this time to do this. So we took our time, and we didn't think we'd get the actors we did. And there was this crazy, like, Becky came in from California, and that was impossible.
Yeah. How funny is it to think that we sorry to cut you off, but like, even looking back at that seemed impossible.
It was totally impossible.
Impossible. We got actors from, one from LA, one from New York City, and then two great local actors. Like, it just fucking worked.
Yeah. I just found the production diary. It shouldn't have worked. No, it should never have worked. I found the production journal that I was keeping, just like going home at night and like writing down all the shit that happened just to remind myself never to do this again. And one of the things was like, it was exactly that. It was, holy shit, we got the cast we wanted. And we looked for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, remember we had...
We had series of auditions.
We had auditions. We had callbacks. We had callbacks at the office where we brought people in and read them against each other.
We did auditions at a hotel. We had auditions at the library.
Yeah.
We had audition. Yeah.
We had a lot of time. And then we had a director of photography who had a big camera package and was passionate about coming on board, and so we spent a lot of time with him, and we brought him in on auditions, and we went on location scouts with him, and we had this whole relationship from like January until
I remember
June,
and then St. Patrick's Day weekend,
the coldest
March day I've ever felt.
I think it might have been the coldest March day ever,
and the wind.
Yeah,
that was the problem. It was fucking blowing so hard. We're location scouting
in the wind
at the park. In Albany.
On a Saturday.
Remember, like right before St. Patrick's Day.
Right after the parade.
Yeah, it was the day of the parade.
People were hammered all around us.
And I remember girls trying to, there was like girls in like short green shorts trying to give us to like take Jaeger shots. Yeah. And it was just like the coldest fucking.
It was so nuts. Yeah, but like we.
See, it's so funny that like we, not to get off track, but like I was talking to Kieran about this today though, like. It's so cool. We got to August since March. March when everything shut down and everything happened. So quickly we got to August. It felt like a snap of your fingers and we're here.
Yeah.
But then I think about it, like I have not done shit in months.
I know.
Like I was thinking about like, oh, how great would it be? Like, oh, why don't we go to, because people could die. That's why we're not doing it.
Yeah.
But like I am so looking forward to the day that we can all just fucking do this again.
Make a movie.
I'm getting emotional because like
doesn't get emotional.
Listen, I'm just saying though, like
that's funny.
I didn't miss it until I thought about it. You know what I mean? Because everything was so like, well, it's a pandemic. We can't go anywhere. We can't do anything. And the fact that now it's been like almost 6 months, it's been 5 months since everything fucking shut down.
Yeah.
Like now I'm getting to the point where I'm like, holy shit.
With no real end.
No real end in sight. I mean, Russia has a vaccine, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean,
cool. Great. But yeah, like that's kind of...
We're not far behind. I mean, I still... No, it's going to be happening.
And I feel like I talk to people actually more than I used to.
Yeah.
Believe it or not.
You got to make the effort now.
Because that's what it is. Because it's like, you know what? I don't want to become disconnected from these people. So I feel like I'm actually talking to people more than I did before, which is nice. But I'm not, it's different like to actually like get together.
Dude, I've been thinking about it and like I wrote that screenplay and I started in January and I thought, all right, I'll write this on and off.
Oh, we'll shoot it this
balancing
summer.
My job. Right. Balancing my job and sort of balancing my home life and balancing all these things. And then like, yeah, well, maybe we'll shoot it like towards the end of the summer. I thought we would probably follow the Middletown schedule.
September 1st
we start and we can shoot in 2 months and the leaves we'll shoot all the exterior shit first, and so the leaves are all pretty,
and then
we'll get all the inside stuff, and we'll get it before it's shitty outside, and like people can't drive because of ice.
Right, you get to my exact point of, you know, two or three topics ago when I was saying how like all the behind the scenes shit. Like we shot most, like a huge chunk of that movie in the winter.
No, yeah,
this movie that takes place in the middle of summer.
Yeah,
we shot in fucking like January and February.
Yeah.
And ideally, anybody watching the movie would have no idea.
Right.
And I would assume they don't.
No.
Yeah. So anyway, go
just
on.
Just cover the windows. So I thought that was going to be the timeline. And then all of a sudden, like, my life stopped. Everything stopped.
Yeah.
And then so I went from, like, notes and a sloppy-ass, like, unfinished first draft to, I don't know, six drafts or seven drafts.
I want to say the draft I had was six.
Six, and then seven is the one we're going to be using, that we're sending sides from. So, like, you know, I mean, I'm not trying to toot my own horn here, but, like, I had nothing to do. So
fucking nose to the grindstone.
Because I don't do well when I can't do anything. But it's also, like it sucks because, okay, so you write the script, and then I get to a point where I'm like, okay, cool, I think this is like what I want to have table read, and so we can table read, and we'll have fun, and we'll cast it, and it'll be fun, blah, blah, blah. But then we're going to hit a wall. We're going to hit a point where it's like, okay, we're out of runway, and we can't take off. So we have to taxi back around and go again. But at least I feel like...
a metaphor from the guy who's afraid to fly.
Yeah. But at least I feel like we're getting something done.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it's an illusion. You know, maybe it's fake because we're not really doing it. But
the day is going to come that we can shoot the movie.
Come. Yeah. So now
it's just we don't know if it's 6 months from now. We don't know if it's a year from now.
Right. Right.
Who knows? That's kind of where we're at. So we're making the best of it.
Yep.
And we're actually using this time to find people, surround ourselves with those people digitally. And,
virtually.
Yes. And make the most of it. And you know what's good, though? This gives us an opportunity to really enjoy this festival experience.
Yeah.
Because imagine if we did start shooting this summer, and then we got into Coney Island. You have to take a whole weekend off of shooting. Don't get me wrong. It'd be worth it. But you know what I mean? Like,
no, I know what you mean.
Maybe playing that game of, let's like, it gives us an opportunity to really enjoy what's going on.
Yeah, man.
And you know what, though? The winter festivals are coming up too.
I know.
I'm just saying. And I'm sure those are going to all be digital and stuff too, but I'm just saying there's stuff coming up. And I think we have this new head of steam. Like you, I sent you a festival, you sent me one. Like, check these guys out. And I was like, oh yeah, we got to really fucking pimp this thing out now. Yeah. Now we have some clout.
Yeah, right. Now we're a festival movie. So
right.
Now you wonder if that matters. I mean, look, I just think it's really, like we said earlier, it's really hard to get a feature into a film festival.
Right.
Because it's a big commitment.
You know?
And a lot of film festivals end up programming like Casey Affleck movies or whatever, you know, movie. All of a sudden you're like, you're watching like a bunch of shorts by a bunch of visionary, you know, artists trying to do with, you know, whatever. And then all of a sudden it's like, you're looking at Sean Penn and you're like, what the fuck is going on? You know? And they're like, oh yeah, it's an independent movie.
Yeah. Fuck off.
So it's hard to, and a lot of times those end up being the draw.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh, this movie showed at Venice and it showed at Cannes and now it's showing here. Right. What's going on?
It's happening.
Oh, the burdening is happening.
Yeah. You know that.
I don't mean to be a burden.
Oh, that's good. That was very good.
Thank you.
Damn.
It's beautiful out here. You're orange. Like this is magic hour. You look great.
See, you look like shit over there. I don't know, I
always do.
I think it's just the shadows.
Pallid.
It's not your fault.
No. I had to be a stand-in today, a lighting stand-in, and I was so pissed off. And then DP, yeah, the DP made a joke afterwards, like when we got the talent in front of the light, and he was like, "Yeah, you look a lot better than our lighting stand-in." And I was like, "Hey, motherfucker, I'm sensitive. Please stop. Like, I know
you're
joking.
Hate when you have to do that.
Yeah,
when you're like, I know you're joking right now, but you're actually really.
I know we're dudes, but I'm really insecure."
If you could just encourage me by telling me I look fine, I'll take fine.
Yeah.
You don't have to say I look great.
Stop.
You're
you
like,
fine.
Oh, no, you look fine, man. Shut up. Let's just get the job done.
Yeah.
And then I'd be like, oh, yeah, you're right.
I'm not even thinking about it. Like, what are you talking about? You look so normal that I'm not even thinking.
Stop bringing the mood down.
Okay, sorry.
We're talking about positive things. For us, not for anybody listening.
Yeah,
unless you were involved in Middletown.
Fuck about Middletown. Yeah.
I'm sure somebody listening probably were involved in Middletown. So congratulations to you.
Yeah.
If you're listening.
Yeah, it's nice. I hope that everybody is excited as I am and as you are about you know, it doesn't happen. And for somebody who just lives in this and uh-huh. like, I mean, it's my, like this whole thing is like, it's cliche and dumb as it sounds, like this whole thing is my life. Like day job and stuff like that. Sure. But like, I listen to the nerdiest filmmaking right. podcast that nobody listens to. There's like 100 listeners. I watch every behind the scenes video that exists online. Every DVD commentary you've ever conceived of, I've listened to. Like, mm-hmm. I've done all of that shit and read every article about every film festival. And all of that combined knowledge over almost 20 years. And it's a big deal to get accepted, man. Dude, and I'm just excited.
It is a big deal.
I'm excited. It's great.
And you know what? I've been really excited to see people's reactions, too. Because people I didn't even think gave a shit are saying, like, holy shit, really?
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, really? Like, fucking really?
Is there a part of you that wants to say, I told you?
Oh, yeah. No, there was definitely a couple people.
What'd you think we were in this for?
At work.
We're in this
That I think thought we were just like a couple of guys with a fucking camcorder.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I borrowed my uncle's camera.
Yeah, you know, we made a movie. How cool is this? It's pretty neat, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to put it on the YouTube.
Yeah. Maybe Vimeo, because we take ourselves seriously.
Yeah, yeah. I got to compress the shit out of it, though.
Yeah, because, you only get 2 gigs a month.
I know, but... no, like, and I think... People were like, oh, he wasn't, he was making a movie. Yeah. He wasn't like a film, as they say.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah,
there's a couple times I've said film to you in the past week and I've hated
and
myself
you
for it.
I know, man. And I think I wrote the Facebook post and I think I wrote the word film and I was like, oh, Sean's going to love this. No, listen, we took the jump.
Yeah, we made the leap.
Yeah.
To Middletown is a film now.
No, it is. It was a movie before.
And before it was a flick.
Yeah. It started as a talkie.
Yeah, but now it's a film.
It's a film. We're film makers.
I mean, it must be because it's in a festival
of film.
Four films.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
They don't call them movie festivals.
No.
Could you imagine they had like movie festivals and it's all like action movies and fucking
movie fest. Yeah. Buddy cop shit.
Yeah.
Like,
right.
Yeah.
Seth Rogen movies.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. They replay like some Chris Tucker shit from back in the day.
See, now I'm like, shit. I shouldn't talk shit about Seth Rogen.
No. You never know.
We're in the same circles now.
Yeah, we're both filmmakers.
Okay, that's kind of ridiculous. But I'm just. But you get my point.
Well, we're not too far away, right? We have a 1 degree of separation of Kevin Bacon, right? Because Devin had a conversation with Seth Rogen at a
right.
charity event.
That's true.
So we could say.
Someone who was in Middletown and took a picture on Instagram.
We run in the same circles.
Yeah.
That's all I'm going to say.
We run in the same circles as Seth Rogen.
That's all I'm going to say. Not a big deal. Whatever.
It seems like a big deal. Did you see that trailer for that? Was that a
American
movie?
Pickle?
Is that a movie or a show?
It's a movie.
Yeah. So it's like HBO doing it, right?
It's everything is weird now.
Yeah, it doesn't
like
make
HBO
any sense.
Does shit. Netflix has a studio arm. Hans Zimmer. They just released today. This is Hans Zimmer's expanded Netflix theme for theatrical release. I was like, what the fuck? What is happening? Netflix theatrical. Okay, all right, cool.
More platforms, more shots for us.
Do you know how long before Facebook takes like really
Facebook
buys
has them? TV shows though?
Yeah, but I mean, how long before?
I mean, Big Baller Brand or whatever. They had their
That's
own
funny.
Show.
That's funny.
But no,
people
seriously,
getting Facebook,
like Facebook
tattoos.
Oh,
hey.
Hey. I guess we've never been out here this late. The light just turned on. Yeah. Totally
I was looking
fucked
at,
our lighting.
I was looking at a swarm of mosquitoes. Literally, there was probably 100 mosquitoes above your head that were swarming and moving across the creek.
Uh-huh.
Oh, they're right there. You can see them.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
you
shit.
See a handful
there
of
they
them.
Are, yep.
About 25, 20, 30.
Let's
know,
just
there's
say
a bunch
there's
of
like
them.
40 mosquitoes.
Yeah,
there's
a lot of mosquitoes. And as I was watching that, then the light turned on and it frightened me. I don't think we're putting out enough CO2 right now. So I think we're fine. That's what they're attracted to.
Is that a thing?
Yeah, they're attracted to the
attracted
carbon.
To CO2.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I guess
from
that
your
makes
breath.
Sense because
from your breath. That's what
animals
they
are the only thing that. Expel CO2. Maybe not the only thing. I don't know.
Yeah. CO2 cartridges, son. For my BB gun. I got a daisy. One pump. They say one pump. You know what? It ain't one pump. Mm-mm. More pump, more power. That's what I say. Double pump, double Everybody power. Says that.
Anyway, come check out our next movie, More Pump, More Power.
Clack, clack.
Just the...
yeah, the BB. Yeah. Oh, okay.
Clack, clack.
Yeah, so we had a good week. Yeah, and I feel good. And we'll continue to have
killer
a good
week. I don't know. I feel like I have... This is going to sound bad, and I hope you don't take this the wrong way. I had kind
but
of...
But fuck you.
All right.
Is that what you were going to say?
Okay.
No, all right. I'm saying...
I know what you're saying.
But fuck you.
But fuck you. Yeah. I don't want to say I'd forgotten about Middletown.
Really?
But I had started looking forward to the next one.
Yeah, sure.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I knew once things happened again, we were going to try to show the movie again, because we had Middle Tour.
Yeah, Middle Tour
figured out. Like, but like, who knows when? So it had, I don't want to say I forgot it. It had been, I kind of had cleared the space in my brain for it at this juncture.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You need something to look forward to.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, yeah. And I was like, well, who knows when that's going to happen? There is a movie we're going to be working on, so I can focus on that, I guess. Because we had a full head of steam with Middletown 6 months ago.
Yeah.
And to have this happen when it did just is perfect.
Yep.
It's perfect.
Yeah, it definitely stoked the fire. I'd like to take a second to congratulate the inept government and leadership for directly fucking with my life, my financial well-being, and my artistic endeavors by fundamentally fucking up the response to disease so phenomenally that it will be written about in books until we can't read anymore.
Yes.
So thank you. When people ask me why I hate the current president of the United States, I can actually write down some solid reasons on how
Besides from he's just a piece of human garbage. Right,
it's not just human garbage. Yeah, it's not just academic.
Mm-hmm.
It's here's the ways in which you drilled it right in our ass. But yeah, I was with you. I mean, look, it's over the last few months and stuff. I've been submitting into festivals and moving towards like the plan to roll it out onto digital platforms and stuff and Amazon and things like that. And there's a bunch of shit that goes into that. You need to come up with, you need to have, like, produce their specific artwork, and you need to do, you know, subtitles and all that, or captions and all that shit. So I've been working on that. But it sort of felt like on pause with that.
Yeah,
project.
I don't want you to think I was like, well, fuck Middletown. No. I'm just saying, like,
I'm saying I agree.
Yeah.
There's nothing more, like there's nothing
you
more you can do
nothing
right
was
now.
Was going to happen right now. So what's,
And we're sort of in a holding pattern until everything kind of clears out and these theaters start to open back up, if they start to open back up, and we'll go from there. But, so we shifted focus into this new movie.
It was kind of out of left field.
Yeah.
And it was great.
It was great.
Speaking of the current president of the United States,
a
few weeks ago, I told everybody about the boat parade thing.
Boat
that
parade.
Happened.
The what's it called? A regatta?
The Trump, regatta or whatever.
Armada? What the fuck? What's it called when you have
They had a flotilla.
Flotilla.
A word I didn't even know flotilla. Existed until a month ago.
Right.
So we talked about that and how I created this like counter event just to fucking piss people off.
You did. Got some heat.
Yeah, and the fucking local paper.
They barked back.
About it
they clapped back.
Dude, people were pissed.
They clapped back.
People got mad. People threatened my job.
Yeah.
That was interesting. Yeah. I didn't get in trouble or anything, but it was interesting to experience.
Because you were for reasonable
that.
People, imagine that.
Yeah, right? And my bosses were basically like, well, you're you know, an American, you can say whatever the hell you want to say.
Feel like it.
Anyway, so I just wanted to point out that I when people started following that, we had like over 1,000 people say they were coming to my bullshit event.
Which wasn't an event. It was a
which
non-event.
Was no event. It was a non-event. And when all of a sudden over 1,000 people were like, yeah, we'll attend your non-event. And I was like, well, shit. Let's make something out of this. So that I committed to donating at least $500 to
USD.
Yes, it's $500 to
cash money
to various, not just me, but you're right. Shit.
Oh, yeah.
The
I'm
world's
sure
largest mosquito.
Did you see it?
I saw it, yeah.
I felt like a bat just landed on my arm. Holy shit.
Yeah, we're right under this light, so they're going to be coming for us.
Yeah.
So I had committed saying, like, oh, if we have this many people show up, I'll donate. Not just me, but Kieran and I both were like, yeah, we'll donate $500
yep.
to various human rights charities and stuff. And that ended this week. And with us plus all the other people, we donated over $1,000.
Hey,
to various charities.
That's and, big, man.
It was. It
You're
was
a philanthropist.
Huge. Yeah, it was fucking. It was pretty nice to do that, and it kind of opened my eyes a little bit too. Like, so I feel like I got something out of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like that. Like differences can be made, and it was nice to see all the people that were like supportive, and
that's great.
The way I described it in my last post of the event, that like before the event like shut down, you know, I was like, I will admit, I started this event just as a way to be a thorn in the side of everybody's Trump flag flying neighbor. But then once, you know, we gained some support, I was like, shit, let's actually make something out of this. Because, it, you know, a month after the little Trump boat parade, what are they going to say they did? They're going to say they got together in their boats and they floated down the river and or down the lake.
Lake,
and,
yeah. Honked and, their horns and got drunk.
That's what they did. They would have done that any other fucking Saturday in the yep. summer. But I can say that I, you know, fucking at least raise some money for some good shit. And I felt good. And I don't care if I sound like an asshole about it. It's I don't give a shit. Like, because a bunch of other people were like, hey, if you guys are donating, we'll donate too. And then people fucking stuck to their word, man. That really blew my mind. Like, because I think people assume that, you know, when people say they're going to do something, they're not going to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
your word doesn't mean shit anymore.
Exactly. You it's know what just, I mean? Like, because yeah. even when I was posting about, like, saying, hey, like, the more people who join this event, the more money we'll donate. We had planned on donating the full promised amount,
yeah.
regardless of how many people join the event. It was just, yeah. you know, we're trying to get as many people as...
Yeah.
But a couple of people shared the event and were like, let's see if this guy will actually do it. People I didn't know. It's not like I know 1,000 people
right, right.
who were just like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like most of the people who were actively participating in this event, I didn't know.
That's awesome.
And they were like, people were sharing it and being like, well, let's see if this guy means it. You know what I mean? Let's see if this guy is full of shit or not. Let's fucking pimp it out and get the word out there. And I was like, you'll fucking see.
In the parlance of, Jesus, in the parlance of Master P, they wanted to see if you were bout it.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
and
I am.
Sean, at the end of the project, could you say that you were
yes
about it?
About it.
All right.
but yeah, like I don't know, it was really cool. And so what we did is over 5 weeks, which is why it took a month. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Instead of just dropping $500 on a like we picked 5 charities, and over the course of 5 weeks, we would donate $100
yep.
to it. And then like with each one, man, like people would like match our donation
tack on,
or
yeah.
tack it on, like.
I saw it.
Yeah, dude, it was pretty incredible.
It was great.
And
you fostered some goodwill. And
yeah, and I feel strong. I feel good about every organization that we donated to. Like,
yep.
Yeah, like, and I mean, I even said, like, hey, people, just because, you know, we only donated to 5 different organizations, like, fucking spread the word. Get it out there. Do more. You know what
Go
I mean?
Do your
like,
own thing.
No, it was great. It was really nice to do that.
Yeah, you're like that's like a big
I just
adult
wanted to put
thing.
A, yeah, I just wanted to put a like a period on that. You know what I mean? Because we had talked about it when it first happened a month ago.
It's great.
And I kind of wanted to like wrap that up and be like, hey, here's what actually happened, and we fucking did it. We actually did it.
I'm proud of you for making a difference.
Thanks.
I mean, it was really. I was actually leaving this building and talking on the phone with you as you were putting the bow on your. Hateful anti-Trump
oh I was
event.
Really angry
and like you were typing
it
like
started
oh,
with
you
it.
Know what I'm doing right now this is what I'm doing I'm gonna publish this event and I was like that's hilarious good for you
it started as a joke it started 100%
and it got crazy
that's the thing it started 1000% as me just trying to be a pain in people's ass
yeah sure
100% I have no issue with admitting like that I was just trying to be a dick
yeah
like because those guys were dicks.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, this is, I'm just going
to
be as ridiculous back to you.
Yeah.
And then, like I said, once people fucking shared it and like it spread. Like, don't get me wrong, I recognize the fact that it's not like we had a million people sign on for this event or a fucking 10,000 people even.
No, but it's a small community and you made a percentage. You had a percentage of the people actually.
A chunk.
Yeah, and actually like more mobilize.
more people than the actual event.
Oh yeah,
did, and it was great, man. Like the fact that I pissed enough people off that they threatened to try to get me fired from my job.
That's great.
At the time, I was angry.
Yeah,
because I was like, my first thought was like, well, "Who's this motherfucker?" But now being able to actually have reflected on it. I don't give a fuck. And that's hilarious to me that you thought you could try to get me fired from my job.
My thought with all that shit, because I did something. It's always like, you know, we're the snowflakes. We're the lefty, liberal,
exactly.
Weak, fragile little snowflakes. And then these guys, as soon as you challenge their views or speak against their mm-hmm. like their chosen autocrat dictator, then it's insane. Like, you're an American and you know, you think that this is what
you need to respect them. It's like, well, actually, I don't need to do shit.
I really don't.
And you seem to really have a problem with that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
just go ahead and buy in on the whole, just be yourself. Go ahead.
Oh, that's the thing. That's what blows my mind is that people will support to the end, their support of Trump and of, you know, those ideas, but they won't stand behind the reasons that they support.
Yeah, like you go ahead, just go ahead and start using the N-word. I mean, I know that you want to. The words that you're using, it's a lot of words that you could fill in for just the one you really want to.
Yeah, you want
you
to know? Go ahead.
You talking about you talking about what you're afraid the future of the nation will be. All that shit is just a flowery way of saying one word, mm-hmm. just abbreviate it. It's like getting a swastika tattooed on your fucking forehead,
dude.
Like, show us. We know.
Gotten anything out of this like pandemic time, it's that I care less about upsetting other people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I feel like it gave me time to reflect on like actual like civil issues in the world. And don't get me wrong, I'm not a fucking soapbox guy. I'm not going to take every opportunity just to get on my soapbox and preach to the world, because you know what I mean? Like, it's not everybody is what am I trying to say? There are people that definitely go out of their way. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But there's a time.
Well, it becomes
place.
A personality.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to just get in everybody's face.
Right.
But there is a time and place when people need to be told that they're wrong.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's the difference. And I'm okay with that.
I lost a lot of respect for a lot of people who I really cared about during this whole thing. And it's mm-hmm. not just. Like, it was like this weird triple decker, like remember in Scooby Doo when they would make those giant sandwiches and they
couldn't right, yeah, yeah.
And they had to like use a string to tie it tight so they could fit it into their mouths and shit.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, that's what this is. There was the pandemic and all these weird science deniers who came out of the woodwork.
So
and I was like,
weird,
really?
Right?
You are dumb?
Yeah.
I didn't know you were dumb. And then came the Black Lives Matter thing.
I had one
thing.
This week. I'll tell you off mic.
Yeah. And then the Black Lives Matter thing. You know, and like the revolution for basically just like treating people like human beings.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was like resistance against that. And I was like, really,
I thought we were on the same team.
Fucking
here.
Nuts. Yeah. And then like, and then on top of that, on top of all, like the cherry on top of all of that was just the presidential election and all these people going like, well, you know what? You know, like if you have a conversation with somebody that starts with, you know, then you're done. Like they're
done. It's
so
over.
All of a sudden I had this whole world full of people who I loved and respected and blah 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 blah. And mm-hmm. then they just slowly one by one
dropping
started
like flies.
Showing who they were. And it's like, shit, man, I'm not saying that everybody in my life needs to agree with everything
for
I think,
sure,
because that's a boring fucking life.
But a line.
Right. If you're a bad person, I like Cherry Garcia. If you're like, you know what, I'm a chunky monkey guy, I'm not going to stop talking to you. But like, when you look at me and go, well, he is the president And yeah, this
off.
Is the I don't give a fuck. I don't care about you, and I don't care about your fucking country, and I don't care about your whack ass non-slapper fucking song that was written 240 years ago yeah. that it apparently is like the fucking electric acid Kool-Aid test that you have to fucking you have to do a certain dance to in order to be in the fucking cool kid club. And this fucking maniac who's barely cogent running the whole show. It's just, if you're that person, then you're senseless and hateful, and I can't continue.
Can't do it.
No. Because I'm an empathetic person to a fault, and that's just who I am. And there's people who are on that other side of all the sides that I take on all those three issues prove to be narcissist, callous, like, you know, jingoistic, fucking, you know, well, I don't know, man. Do you really want people coming into the country and doing... we're done. I don't give a fuck about you, and I don't care about what you think. Mm-hmm. Also, you know, not one of those people who I'm cutting out of my life is a political scientist, has a master's degree in fucking economics or anything. Everybody is a normal person who works a normal job and all of a sudden is a goddamn professional, you know, political scientist. It's just, yeah.
So. Oh, it's because they read one, they saw one meme on Facebook.
Yeah, I know.
Well, and that's what does it.
They saw one meme, but it was shared by a bunch of people, and they're like,
right. Well, it's validation.
Confirmation bias, you know? I mean,
it was like something, and I'm admitting that I'm going to talk about something that I don't know a whole lot about.
That's not how you say that.
What do you mean?
You say something different when you're going to get into an area that you don't know about, and it's kind of your catchphrase.
Oh, so I don't know shit about shit.
There it is.
Sorry.
If anybody is a musician and can come up with a little jingle there, I would be very happy.
I don't know shit about shit.
223 episodes in, I would like to introduce that.
No, like, so after Epstein, there's this attack on pedophiles, right? Yeah. When was that not a thing? How come all of a sudden people are trying to justify their hatred for pedophiles?
Yeah, we all don't like pedophiles.
That's blowing my mind. Yeah. Like, everybody gets all indignant. And being like, well, I don't agree with that. They need to be stopped. Yeah, no shit.
Yeah, that's the worst thing you can do.
Yeah, we're all on the same team here. Have you seen one person say, well, actually, no.
Well, in France, actually.
No, fuck off.
Yeah,
like,
nobody gives
all
a
of
shit.
A sudden, people get on their fucking soapbox, to use that phrase again, that just like, we need to stop all the pedophiles and we need to do this.
Human trafficking is real. Look into it.
Yeah, we know. What do you want me to do?
I love it.
Like, all of a sudden, these people are just like this is their stance. First of all, it's easy. I think that's part of it.
Oh, to just
it's easy to hate pedophiles. Like, no shit. Everybody hates pedophiles.
I don't
man.
Like immigrants coming into the country because I think they're taking our jobs, and I think that they're sucking the welfare system dry. And I don't like black people because they're gorgeous. But you know what I really don't like? It's fucking pedophiles. Okay, am I right? One out of three ain't mad, right? And everybody's like, alright. It's all hard, right. Hard to disagree with the pedophile thing. So I guess
I agree. Like, no, we all hate pedophiles.
Can we go back to those other two? No. I'll just talk loud about the pedophile thing.
But see, here's what's crazy is now everybody thinks every celebrity is a pedophile.
It's so... I follow Chrissy Teigen on Twitter, and I...
She got a lot of shit, right?
Dude, I urge everybody to go into her last tweet and just look at the responses. People are out of their fucking minds. Mm-hmm. Like, there are people posting shit like, in December 2015, you said, I'm enjoying a pizza with my husband, and everybody knows that
dude.
A pizza is code
this
for a prepubescent
pizza
girl.
Shit.
Dude, it's insanity.
I know this. There was a big before the last election.
Yeah,
that was
the
pizza
gate,
the pizza thing. Like, y'all are looking at the wrong side of this.
You're
here.
Wasting
like,
energy on bullshit.
Like, did look, you see the one that's going around about the documentary that supposedly, Anthony Bourdain, Chester Bennington, Avicii, and somebody else. That they're like, oh, they were all working on this documentary that was going to expose
dude.
The pedophile rings. And then they all conveniently committed suicide
dude.
Within a year. I'm like, are you fucking insane?
Here, it's like, look, here's the thing. Here's what's happening in the world. What's happening in the world is that in the country that you most likely live in, because it feels like all these people are fucking maniac Americans, you've lost 160,000 people.
According to our internet stats, we have a huge following in China.
Cool.
But I think there's click farms.
Americans, you've lost 160,000 countrymen to a preventable virus that could have been taken care of months ago.
Mm-hmm.
You've lost your jobs. The economy has collapsed. You're begging the government for survival money while Jeff Bezos and Mark Zuckerberg are on trial for being omnipotently wealthy.
Right.
There's a bigger divide between the poor and the rich than there was during the French Revolution.
Yeah, I saw that.
There's African Americans are being murdered by policemen.
Yeah.
Racism is rampant in the streets. There are neo-Nazis wearing swastika masks at gas pumps during the broad daylight. Mm-hmm. That's all the shit that
with
you
no fear.
That's all the shit that you should be worried about. That's all the shit that you need to. Your president is retweeting white supremacists.
Yep.
That's the shit that you need to pour your fucking calories into, not Chrissy Teigen eating a toddler's adrenaline gland. You're out of your fucking mind. You have schizophrenia. Go to the goddamn doctor that you're going to pay way too much money to visit because your fucking government is horseshit, and get help. It's insane, but it's all diversionary bullshit.
It's all bullshit, man.
It's fucking crazy.
And people are so Bill Clinton's name was on the Epstein documents, right?
Course. Yeah.
And his name was in there.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? You think just because I'm a liberal guy, I'm going to defend him?
Yeah. Bill Clinton was a scumbag.
No. I mean, why the fuck would I do that?
Who gives a shit?
Yeah. Like, if he was in there and there's if there's any evidence, then yeah, fuck him.
Fuck him. I don't care. And it's not going to be like the bombshell, like, oh, well, you know what? Because what you're saying when you say that shit, like, well, you know who was in that document guy is so shitty.
Yeah.
That I need a big aha moment like, I told you, your guy is shitty. Like, yeah, I know. They're all shitty. Your guy is super shitty.
Yeah.
Your guy is shitty in public, on TV, every fucking day.
And this guy was president 25 years ago.
Yeah.
So what do you want me to do?
Your guy's still
it?
Talking about a woman that he beat in an election 4 years ago.
Yeah.
And he didn't actually win either. Right, right.
Like... Right. She had 3 million more
popular votes. Right.
3 million more people.
Not 3,000.
Yeah. Not 300.
No.
Not even 300,000. Like
about a third of the population of New York City.
3 million more people voted for her, but just because we have this stupid fucking electoral college bullshit.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, you win.
Yeah, I know.
So.
But you need to make.
I will never forget.
The Obama thing, too. Obama, motherfucker, your guy won. And he's still saying make America great again. Motherfucker's had 4 years. He had a term. He didn't do it.
Yeah.
By your own omission, by the slogan that y'all jumped in for, didn't do it. So... Well, where do we go from here? You gave him the chance to do it. So you should probably blame Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama. Because
I think that the reason they're doing the Obama thing is because they want to make Biden look bad. But
And
that's
he
was what it is.
Fucking black. And it's like...
Oh, for sure. Yeah. 100%. And now, like, people are like... Vox News is like not giving a shit that they're pronouncing Kamala Harris, her name wrong.
Yeah.
Like... They're just not giving a shit because they're fucking Fox News and they're gonna.
Yeah.
Like, that's some bullshit. Like.
They don't give a shit.
Yeah, man. I don't know.
It's such a stupid.
I didn't mean to go off on this tangent. We were having such a good time talking about the fact that Middletown.
Hey.
The movie.
The movie. Not the town.
Middletown
but
movie
by
on
proxy,
Facebook.
The town.
Yeah. And
this one's for Middletown.
And they don't even seem to give a shit.
They don't.
I thought about messaging the Hudson Valley Film Commission. Or the Orange County Film Commission, and there's a Hudson Valley film. Being just so you know.
Let's talk about that when we hit stop.
Okay. But I was going to be, just so you know, like there's a movie about your town that's in a film, in a major film festival.
Yeah.
That's fine. Okay. Anyway, moving on. Not that I meant to go off on that tangent. I was actually going to say we should post this episode as a From the Bunker Middletown update.
Oh, yeah.
But then we went on this, what seems like a very hard on podcast tangent.
Yeah. And we're not in the bunker. We're free.
We're
for another probably 7 weeks.
That's true.
And until then we'll be back in the bunker.
The first snow flurry.
Yeah. Sean, how long have you been going? 14 minutes. Yeah, all that shit. But tonight, shorts, t-shirts, and
super cozy.
Super cozy.
And Bud Light seltzers.
I mean, this is it. We put a punctuation mark into our summer with these delicious blackberry seltzers.
Black cherry is the best flavor.
Yeah, I would agree.
Typically, I don't like black cherry anything.
No.
I really don't.
With the hard seltzer.
But with the hard seltzer, man.
She's a nice.
I was really looking forward to the mango.
Oh, yeah. Not
kinda
good.
Kind of sucks.
Strawberry, not good either.
Strawberries, well, I thought it was okay.
Yeah. I thought the lemon lime was
I haven't
good.
Had the lime yet.
Yeah.
I have a lime one in the fridge at home.
Not so bad.
Okay. But I have a feeling black cherry is going to be what's up.
Black cherry is 100% what's up. And you know what? White Claw hit it hard early with the black. They only had the black cherry tall boys. And I remember going like, what is this nonsense? And having and so I think Bud Light Seltzer saw it was a good thing, jumped on board, and you know, man, as a 100 calories,
and it's a striking can too, right?
It is.
As a guy in you know, advertising,
yeah,
I think it's a nice can.
I think you have a nice can.
I think you have a great can. It's a striking. I mean, Post Malone, big fan
I
of
know,
the Bud Light
I
seltzers,
know.
Right?
You know, did you know that he's from Syracuse?
I did not know that.
Yeah. Syracuse.
That seems right.
And he's only 25.
Dude, he feels like he's from Syracuse. Now that you say that.
He's Central New York.
Like he's very Central New York, man. I've spent some time out there.
Sure. I was there today.
Yeah. He's very. I should have guessed. If you said guess where he's from.
Yeah. You would have been like Rome.
I was like, yeah, Rome,
close,
New York?
Close. Close.
Yeah.
Yeah.
About the same place.
30 miles.
New York east. From.
Oh, right, Flavor of Love.
Flavor of Love.
Yes, yeah. Yes, yes.
To bring it back to last week's
episode.
Yeah,
that's right. Oh, man, this is like we're calling back.
Man, just like the good old days.
We hit all the bases today. The only thing we're missing is a what the fuck. And someday, Sean, I promise, we're going to do it again. The fuck you say?
Well, we have to have a guest for that.
I know. We're going to get there.
Maybe we can get some of these festival peeps to be on a podcast.
Wouldn't that be great?
Dude, I was thinking about that. Like, man, we could have brought, like, a podcasting equipment down to fucking Coney Island.
We can still, listen, and, like, we can still podcast this festival.
100%, man. 100%. 1,000%.
We're going to treat this. I am going to treat this like this is a festival we're going to. I'm going to stay here for the weekend. I'm going to use the office as my hotel room.
Yeah.
You're just up the hill.
Tell you what, though. I'll come down. You take my temperature at the door.
I will.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because Jay and I do a pretty good job socially distancing ourselves
while we
do these podcasts.
We're smart.
But yeah, you take my temperature at the door.
Yep.
Asking me a series of questions.
Have you traveled anywhere in the last 14 days?
Well, I was at Sturgis last week.
Wow. For Smash Mouth?
No, but for the motorcycle.
Okay. But Smash Mouth played, and I wouldn't fault you for going.
Did they really?
They were the headliner.
At fucking Sturgis?
Yeah, and they said, fuck this COVID-19 into the, you know, and as they were rocking out to All-Star or whatever.
Are you being completely serious?
100%. Yeah. That was the sound of the microphone hitting Sean's forehead. FYI.
I mean, Smash Mouth, right?
Smash Mouth. If you told me that Smash Mouth was headlining the Sturgis Harley-Davidson bike rally during a pandemic.
Would have been the last band on my list.
I would have thought it was like the treatment for like a fucking Roger Corman movie. Like,
right.
What? What kind of like trauma Lloyd Kaufman film are we like Smash Mouth? Like, it sounds like a joke. It sounds like David Spade.
That
it would be
up.
Like David Spade would be in the movie. And he'd be like, I can't believe I made it all the way to Smash Mouth. And then, you know.
That's literally the end of the movie Rat Race.
That's how it ends?
Yeah. Have you seen the movie Rat Race?
No.
Okay. So the movie Rat Race. I can't remember every actor in it. It's like a laundry list of B-list actors.
Okay.
C-list actors.
Okay.
John Cleese is in it. I think he's probably the most famous person.
Lorenzo Lamas?
John Lovitz is in it.
Oh, yeah. All right.
Rowan Atkinson is in it.
Say no more, fam. I got you.
You get where I'm going here.
Yeah.
So the whole premise of the movie is that this rich guy puts $1 million, I think, in a locker at a train station in Nevada.
Okay.
And they all have to race to get there.
And they're all rats.
No. Sure. But they're all people like in this race to get across part of the country. I think they're going from Reno or from Vegas to Silver City or something. I can't remember.
Okay.
But the fact that I remember Silver City, I think is pretty.
I'm impressed that you've gone this far.
Or Carson City. What is that? Isn't Carson City the capital of Nevada?
I don't know.
I think it is. Anyway, all these people have to get there, and the first person to get there wins.
Okay.
But the whole idea is that they're giving them all this money, but all these rich people are betting on who's going to get there first, is the premise of the movie. Anyway, they all get there at the end, and they all decide that they're going to split the money.
Okay.
Because they all run into each other through, Cuba Gooding Jr.'s in it. He's probably the most famous person in that movie.
Oh, yeah.
What
era Cuba Gooding Jr.?
Late. It's kind of late.
Okay.
Yeah, it might be post. It's pre-radio.
Well, he's got an Cuba Gooding Jr. The boy's got an Oscar. I mean,
yeah.
It's hard to.
I don't know if it's before or after. What's that?
The diver movie?
Yeah, with
Robert De Niro.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't remember.
I don't remember the name of that movie. It was a good movie.
Shit was powerful.
Very good.
I don't remember the name of it.
So anyway. So the whole idea is they travel across and try to get this money anyway. Mr. Bean, Ronak.
Yeah, Mr. Bean, yeah.
Yeah. So they get there. Amy Smart, isn't it?
Okay.
I'm remembering people.
Jesus,
as
it's like in real time. I feel like I'm opening up IMDb and a 56K modem.
Right.
It's like, oh, Amy Smart.
Who was the co-creator with Seth Green? So Seth Green, I think, was in it. Who was
Breckenmeyer?
The co-creator of
Robot Chicken.
Robot Chicken.
Breckenmeyer.
Yeah, he's in it.
Okay. This is great. I feel like I'm going to give you a long enough timeline. You're going to tell me who the fucking best boy was and the gaffer.
I think Seth Green was also in that movie. I'm like almost positive.
Mike Mills was the second AD. In the
Anyway, Smash Mouth is at the end of them.
Are they really?
Yeah. No, they're all fighting over the money, and then they find out they're like they've stumbled upon
a Smash Mouth show.
A Smash Mouth concert. And there's a line in the movie where this kid's like, "It's Smash Mouth." And like he's all like,
"What's the song?"
All Star.
Yeah, of course.
I'm almost 1,000%.
I just thought like you couldn't do that again since it was used in so many other movies that to hit it on the to hit it that hard on the head. If you busted into the accidental Smash Mouth show and they were playing like Walking on the Sun or something.
Yeah, but
like,
that would have been a 90s movie. That would have been like
right.
I think All Star is like an early 2000s movie.
Yeah.
It's a totally different Smash Mouth.
I know. It was in Shrek.
Sure.
Well, anyway, so it turns out that they are pro-Trump, anti-science, COVID deniers.
I could see that.
Who are, I really couldn't see it. I mean, listen, I don't give a single shit about them. I think they're the worst abomination to ever happen. Like, I feel like them and fucking Hoobastank and all those other shit.
Might as well be walking on the sun.
You may as well. I'm just surprised. I'm surprised that anybody... Besides,
sure,
like
fair
the,
enough.
Besides, like Foghat, like the right. surviving members of Foghat, you know who else? Well, I mean, of all the shitty bands in the world, you pick the shittiest pop band. Like next year,
and you're headlining Sturgis,
right? Next year, the Sturgis Harley Davidson Rendezvous, the 31 fucking bikers who are left from this year are going to be treated to musical stylings of fucking Aaron Carter. Like what's next?
Aaron's not doing well.
I know.
Aaron is not doing well. Kieran and I just listened to Aaron's house party the other night because we put on we'll just put on random shit from our youth.
Yeah.
And fucking Aaron's house party came on.
It's so funny. I've said too much.
You have a certain insight here that
I do.
I was amazed you even said that.
I know.
Because I've tried to get you to talk
about
this shit
before. I'm definitely going to cut it out of the podcast.
Are you really?
Yeah, 100%. It's too much.
We literally have a vein of great content.
I know.
And you refuse.
Well, it's like the Alaskan pipeline. I'm like, look, I know it's there, but it's not good if we open it up. And right now you're trying to be like those people who are like, fucking just open it. We need that. We need that.
You're
Earl.
Making me the bad guy here?
You say we need the Earl. And I'm like, you know what? There's more important things.
Maybe we should start a separate podcast just for that.
And then just not release it? Or you can release it upon my death.
Great. Yeah, I've been sitting.
These are his stories, and you could treat it like you and I, like we'll paint it like we're sitting in like these high backed velvet chairs, with like
sure.
the buttons, you know, like Victorian era, and we're drinking like snifters of like fine brandy,
cognac,
and we're having like a retelling, like now. In 1999, you found yourself in the basement of the UNO Lakefront Arena, recently broken up with a crippling drug addiction. How did the next 48 hours go? And I go, well, I remember it well. Or should I say I don't?
I'm kind of hoping you forget that this was in here. You don't think I...
Don't worry. I won't.
Well, how do we cleanly wrap this up?
So anyway, Smash Mouth can suck all of the dicks that are wagging around the Sturgis Harley-Davidson bike.
250,000 people went to Sturgis.
So
Cuomo put South Dakota, right? That's where that is?
On the list?
On the list.
Of course.
During Sturgis. And he was like, yeah, no, there's no way that you guys aren't spreading COVID there. So
there was a headline on CNN and it said, Sturgis bike rally, a gigantic gamble. No, nope, not a gamble. Just a bad idea.
I'd put
you're
money
being,
on that.
You're being kind by saying it's a gamble. All these people are going to go. The only thing I can hope is that it takes longer for a person on a motorcycle to get back to New York than the 14 day.
Right.
Like, they just hope they die on the way. Just die on the way.
Yeah, they won't make it.
I hope not.
Well, Jay.
Yeah, it's been a good one.
The mosquitoes are biting us up.
Yeah.
Mostly you, I've noticed. Well, I actually am pretty good over here.
They're
noticed
all
you've been
buzzing around your head.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God. I better not stand up. I'm going to, like, duck out of here. Yeah. I'm super proud of you and us.
I'm super proud of you.
But you deserve it.
You deserve it. Producer, actor.
Will you just let me tell you that I'm proud of you? Will you just let me fucking do this?
No, I'm going to cut this out, too.
You work harder than anybody else on the movie. Everybody works their ass off, but you work, like, two asses off, which is an expression I just made up. Man, you worked two asses off. Really? That's where you're going? Yes, that's what I'm going with.
I have an interview tomorrow, and that's what I'm going to say. Listen, I work 2 to 2.5 asses off in
but
this
no,
job.
No, like, you give so many shits and so many fucks about putting out a really good movie. And that's it's great. Like, I don't even know if I would have that in me to do what you do.
Yeah, you do it with me.
Yeah, I do it with you.
Yeah.
I help you.
Yeah.
I would have significantly less
shits and fucks to give if people
I'm more than happy to help take some burden off of your plate.
Yeah, but that
I'm
but
more
that's
than happy
what makes
to do
it
that.
Go.
But I'm just saying you really fucking
I'm not going to take a compliment.
Hit it home. Well, people can just hear me say it. I'm just saying you deserve this, I'm super proud of you. It's great.
Sean, you deserve it. You were a producer and an actor, and you did
Thank
a great
you.
Job.
I appreciate that.
Anyway, if you guys want, because hopefully by the time this is released, which I assume will be in the next few days, they will have posted links. So if you're looking to...
It'll probably be next week.
Maybe. Okay.
No, I'm saying next week is when it's going to go up.
Oh, okay. Great.
Yeah.
So maybe the festival tickets are available. If you are into supporting artists who are not just us, if you're listening to this, obviously you're into supporting us, check out ConeyIslandFilmFestival.com and buy a ticket to go see a bunch of really great films. I mean, the festival is curated with care. And I know you might think that it's not because they accepted us, but there's going to be a bunch of really great shit to watch, and you're going to get to watch Middletown again, or for the first time, and we're going to do a Q&A where we can A some of your cues, and we would be happy to have you.
And that being said, there is a chance they haven't updated the site yet, so if they haven't, just keep an eye open.
Yeah.
Keep an eye out.
Watch our shit.
Yeah.
MiddletownMovie.com, Facebook.com/MiddletownMovie.
Yes. That's where you can find all the shit, and we've been pretty active on there.
Yeah.
You know what's funny? I was looking at other movies that got in, and I was looking at their social media presence. I was like, oh, wow, they're posting shit. And I was like, oh, wait a minute. And then I looked at ours. I was like, oh, no, we post some shit.
Yeah,
so I'm not worried about that. Yeah. But yeah, so we're very excited, and we're... Hopefully, you know, we can keep the ball rolling.
Yeah,
Yeah.
Keep your balls open.
Oh, that was really good for me.
Yeah.